Feeling lost and alone? Looking for validation from your partner, only to find the feeling of rejection and continued frustration? You're together yet so far apart. Now your frustration has turned into disdain and resentment. Your insecurities have begun to affect every aspect of your life. Ironically, you have now become the cold and detached one, shielding yourself from the uncertainties of your relationships. Dr. April Brown has created Bringing Intimacy Back, a series of discussions that are designed to help you reclaim what you have lost along the way. Dr. April will help you rediscover and reconnect to the intimate relationship your heart so desires. Go to www.bringingintimacyback.com today and let the healing begin.
Welcome to the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. On this show, we aim to help you increase the intimate connections with your significant other, your family, your business network, your community, your higher power. We give you the secret power to intimacy, to create a life you love or love the life you create. Well, today we have a very special guest on our show and a very special topic that we're going to talk about. Our topic today is balancing love and law. And we have some wonderful divorce lawyers who's going to guide us on how to keep the spark. But they're not only going to guide us in the sense of, you know, well, they're giving us information, but they're also living it. Okay, they're living how to live and work together and even parenting together. And what I mean about that they're actually living it, it's not because I know right now that many of us are stuck at home and are maybe kind of working or working from home, dealing with the children and stuff with this coronavirus. And we're like, oh my gosh, how can we balance it all? And so what's really great is right now I have experts who have been doing it prior to the coronavirus, but are also still doing it now. So I would like to welcome Ashley and Christopher Bruce. How are you guys doing?
Oh, thank you. Great.
Doing great. Cool to be a part of this. Thank you for having us on.
Yes, thank you so much for being on the show. And as I introduce them, and they're going to talk about their story, but I just wanted to let you guys know that this couple here is really, really special and unique. And I've actually seen them in work and how they connect. And so I really wanted to bring this topic up and for us to talk about it, because many of us are struggling right now in the sense of trying to balance it all. So, but the first thing that I kind of want to know is how did this journey of the you two even meet as lawyers or whatever the case may be?
Yes, back in the day.
I met Ashley at a Florida, you become a lawyer, you have to take a licensure type test, they call it the bar exam. And there was a beautiful girl in front of me, and she turned around and gave me her name, but a couple days later, not her phone number. And you know, a little back and forth, maybe a first date and then a second first date and a couple of kids and 8 years married later. Here we are. So it's been a fun road, but she did not give me her number to start.
Awesome. So Chris, you both were about to take your bar exam.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you notice a beautiful woman in front of you. Wow.
I did, and I wasn't expecting it. I was on a vacation. I'm like, oh, great, here we go, because they have it's like an 8-week class. I finally got out of law school, away from the lawyers and, you know, or lawyers to be. And I'm like, all right, here we go again. And I never expected to meet the love of my life sitting right in front of me.
Sometimes you just have to turn around and say hello and spark up a conversation. So
Yes. And so on that, how did you guys get that spark, that passion? Where does it come from?
It just comes from connecting on so many different levels, I think. At first, you know, obviously it wasn't there. It took a little bit of time because we had two first dates, one spaced out a couple months after the other. And then, you know, we connected on so many different levels, just emotionally, physically, just our interests, and really that's just how it started. It's grown from there. We've developed interests that we both enjoy together now too. So that's been fun.
Yeah, I think that was a big probably part of it. Looking back, we each, little did we know it at the time, maybe, but you know, we each liked comedians. Ashley loved to play tennis, so did I. Like a lot of our early dates, like we did things that we both enjoyed, and you know, we came together as a couple, but we would do things we both enjoyed together. And I mean, still now, I think we both, at least on most days, like being lawyers, we get to do that. We have hobbies, we have kids, and it's just trying to have common interests, I think, is a big part of it.
Okay, yeah. And you guys talked about, and she talked about the connection, and this show is about intimacy and intimate connections. What does that mean to you guys?
Oh, that's a good one. What comes to mind for me is I think that one of the biggest things that we do is we just try to talk to each other about their day, what's going on in their life, and actually try to listen and actually care about what the other person's saying. And I guess that creates a sense of we're connected to each other, caring about each other, that maybe flows through to a lot of other parts of our life. I guess for me, it's a lot about communication.
And yeah, absolutely. And listening, and truly listening, not just waiting to talk. You know, when he says something that's bothering him, or he had a particularly hard incident in a day, kind of digging a little bit into that and exploring that as well. And that kind of, you know, that brings intimacy out in our connection as well, with just talking to each other and understanding each other on a different level.
Yeah,
I noticed that when one of you guys talk, you gaze at the other. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about in the sense of the listening?
Yes. It's like deep, thoughtful listening, which is really, really a nice thing that I think both of us actually do. Even when the kids are in bed, one of the things that we really look forward to is just downloading everything, not necessarily work-related, but just kind of, we call it gossip. What's the gossip of the day? To just kind of share with each other what we've experienced throughout the day.
Yeah, I'd say that's a big part of it too.
Right. And I know since you're both the lawyers, you connect on that level, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's made our relationship, I guess, maybe easier. I don't think you have to do the same thing as your spouse, but it's certainly, you know, I think has helped both of us appreciate each other's day a little bit more. I mean, now we work together, but it wasn't always that way. And I mean, she could have a tough day, and we each kind of understood what each other was going through, or we could easier relate to each other. I don't think we have to do the same thing to relate to the other person, but I think it's been quite helpful.
And it's understanding each other too. Like if I had to work on a weekend, or if we have a particularly pressing hearing coming up, he could empathize and understand what it's like to be in that situation. So that has certainly helped, you know, instead of saying, why are you working all weekend? It's more like, you know, how what can I do to help comfort you during this particularly difficult time?
Awesome. Yes. And so I'm curious also, did the passion of law, is it the same for both of you guys? How did you guys get into law, each of you?
I think we have different paths. My path was always pretty direct. My mom was a divorce and bankruptcy attorney for 30 years here in South Florida. So just kind of following her and her instilling the passion in law and helping people and be it's a pretty direct path. I went, you know, straight through undergrad. I minored in legal studies while I was at UCF, and then straight to law school. So it's always been a pretty direct path for me.
Yeah, I was a little different, but my mom had something to do with it too.
Okay.
But my mom and dad, they both encouraged me to go to law school. They thought that I should go into something that, you know, would be a stable platform. They both were. My mom's a CPA, and she was Ashley's mom, kind of entered into the profession at a time to where there weren't any women doing it. And she had to work very hard to get where she was at. My dad, you know, was in law enforcement. He had to work very hard. And I think they wanted to see my sister and I do something to where, you know, maybe we didn't have to work two shifts of a full-time job to have a comfortable family. And they kind of told me to do it, but I was supposed to be a tax lawyer. And Then I really liked business transactions, and I started at some super huge law firm the last time we were going into a recession. Okay. So that was very short-lived, and a divorce lawyer I came to know in town gave me the opportunity, and I never thought I would be doing this and making a career out of it, but after I was given a chance from somebody who was very good at what they did to learn how to do it, I really enjoyed it. So why move on from that? So it's fun. I enjoy it.
And it's been particularly rewarding, I think, for both of us to be able to help people.
And what we do, it's divorce lawyers, is you really deal with the person, and you see them hopefully, you know, not all the time, but when we try to get our desired results, getting the person from an unhappy place oftentimes to a place where they're happier and you know, more respectful of themselves and easier capable of smiling each day. And it's just, you really do a life transition. And it really is motivating when you see that work to be part of it.
Right, definitely. And the one thing that I was so impressed by you guys as lawyers, and even as you're just talking about, you like to help families out in relationships. You also have this site called Stay Married Florida, which is kind of like, some people may think it's like the opposite kind of what you do. Yeah, what inspired you to create a website and a whole, you know, system called Stay Married Florida?
I think the biggest part of it was that we wanted to give people a chance to have some resources to hopefully avoid divorce. You know, I was doing divorce and family law a few years before Ashley and I joined together. And you just see as the divorce happens, it really affects not just the family getting divorced, but the people that rely on, you know, the family, the kids in the future, not always things that can't be, you know, surmountable, but it really affects more than just one relationship. It affects almost the whole ecosystem of people around it. So we wanted to try to, you know, create a platform to where people could learn more about maybe, you know, stepping back from the conflict in the relationship and trying to, you know, fix what was and still has the potential to be, you know, a good thing, bring the intimacy back, so to speak. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's oftentimes there was, you know, a true spark with people
right.
at some point
There's
in time,
there.
And, you know, years or children or an acute event in their lives might, you know, put out the spark, but it doesn't, you know, mean they shouldn't try to reignite it. And divorce is there. There are people who need it, but in okay. my view, many people don't.
Yeah. So sometimes you guys are seeing sparks in couples that are trying to get divorced, and you're providing a resource.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. How long have you guys been doing that?
What is it? I think the website was 2012, probably. So, So I guess it's probably 7-8 years. And I, you know, I think we both realized early on that it was really important for people to take a step back and think about their relationship and, you know, at least try to get help from people like you and, you know, see if they can make things work. If there isn't violence or a personality disorder. And we wanted to put that out there, just seeing what divorce did. Ashley grew up and, you know, her parents right. were divorced, you know, still very much part of her lives that we see all the time. But, you know, it's just, it's really important. Once my parents are still married and I just saw what divorce did to people, and Ashley lived through it, and we wanted to try to help the people who can avoid it maybe have a better okay. chance at it.
Yeah, interesting. Well, wonderful. Yeah. And as I said earlier, you guys don't also just talk about it, you actually do it. And you're working together, living together, raising a family. How do you guys balance it all?
That's a really great question. I think we're still trying to figure the right answer out to that. It's kind of a day-by-day thing, you know, especially now in the situation with everything's going on,
okay.
trying to balance the children and working and the home and everything else. I feel like it's more, we approach it more in a sense of a team versus, mm-hmm. oh, I'm doing everything, you know, here and he does nothing, or,
right.
you know, I do this and she does nothing. I can't believe, you know, that. So we don't really look at it, you know, as a negative thing. It's more of an outlook, a positive outlook on things in a team approach to how we tackle and balance everything. You know, if I have to do a consultation with a new client, he'll kind of step in and manage the kids while, you know, obviously he has other really demanding things going on too, but it's all a balance. And it's really teamwork.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's exactly kind of what we want to talk into, get more into detail about your teamwork and how you guys do it. But we're going to take a short break. And then when we come back, we're going to get into the meat and bones of how does this teamwork actually works and give out some resource and stuff. We'll be back in a short moment.
During this difficult time that we are all facing, many people are in need of someone to talk to. One option is speaking to a therapist to express your anxieties if you're feeling isolated or just need someone that will listen and help you with coping skills to get through. Dr. April Brown is now accepting new clients and is working with her existing clients through distance video counseling. The services are through a secure online HIPAA web-based practice management platform called Simple Practice. This technology can provide a secure two-way interactive video counseling session over the internet. For more information about video counseling, please email Dr. April Brown at info@draprilbrown.com or you may call 239-565-6921. Thank you. And remember, we are all in this together.
Hi, welcome back to Bring In Intimacy, where intimacy is real. So just a moment ago, Ashley and Christopher were talking to us about how they balance work and living together and raising children as a team. And they go about it as a team. And so I'm really curious, in the sense of this whole team effort, how does that effectively work? Do you guys have business meeting? Is there a schedule? Are there roles? Explain how it goes.
A divide and conquer kind of team approach that we do. Chris Moore manages, and I'll let you talk more about this too. He manages kind of the operations of our business. I like to meet with the new clients to, you know, just meet with them and try to help them as best as I can. And then we both pitch in pretty much on the children. Of course, we have to give credit to grandparents because we would not be able to do anything without them. But it's kind of more of a role-based system, and it's not any hierarchy or anything like that. It's all we're all on equal footing, or that's how I feel.
Yeah, and we tried. It was tricky when we started to work together, or we thought it might be tricky. We're like, how do we do this to where, you know, somebody isn't somebody's boss, or we're not reporting to each other? You know, we thought maybe that could get us into your office a little quicker than us staying in ours. And you know, we kind of thought, okay, well, why don't we just break up the major roles that we have? And you know, we're both lawyers. You know, we can do a lot of the same things, but why not break it up so we're, you know, kind of pitching in together as a team, right, and each kind of doing things and working
did
together on those
things. Did you actually have to write it down?
We did actually in the beginning, yeah.
Okay.
We took one day, her mother, you know, graciously, like she does a lot, it's been very helpful, took the little ones, and we took a Saturday, and we're like, all right, it's 2 weeks from now, we're going to be working together. She was leaving her law firm. Like, how are we actually going to do this? And, yeah, we wrote it down. We figured out what our roles were going to be. And, I mean, it's evolved over time. Yeah. We kind of have what was supposed to be a weekly business meeting, but I feel like we keep falling out of it. But we talk every day, kind of at the end of the day, just about everything. And it's, I think, worked so far pretty well.
It's been working so far, absolutely. I mean, he's in what we do, he's considered the specialist. He's board certified. So it's very few attorneys in the state that are board certified. So he knows a lot about the family law aspects, and sometimes I have to ask him about the details of, you know, nuanced issues sometimes. So it works well with him not saying, you know, do this or do that or anything like that to me, because I also feel like I'm pretty accomplished in my career as well. So we've been able to really not make it hierarchical or anything like that. So it's been wonderful so far.
Good, good. I know we have some Facebook people that are listening. And so Heather on Facebook has a question. Like, do you guys set up certain quiet times for each other? Like, you know, have a time for myself? And how do you guys keep the spark and love alive?
That's a great question. I strongly believe that you definitely need time for yourself to recharge, especially if you're a little bit independent, which I feel you both are. Just recently, I have developed, come back into something that I've actually really enjoyed as a child. It was horseback riding. So now I get to do that periodically, you know, throughout the week whenever I have the opportunity to do so. So that's one area that I'm taking the time for myself to recharge and feel a little bit.
Is it on a schedule that you do it ever so often?
It's on a schedule.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'd say so. I mean, she's able to do it. Usually there's a couple of nights a week to where, you know, she's able to go do that. And one thing in one of the mornings. And I'm working on having mine, but I think it's good to have, like, we kind of talked, it's like good to be able to, I mean, we often go do the horse stuff together too,
yes,
but to be able to have something you can separately kind of pursue, you know, to have a little bit of space is probably a pretty healthy thing, I think.
Yeah, good. Good. So also, in the sense of you guys working together, is there challenges of working together so closely at home all the time? Because for many of us, this is new. You know what I'm saying? Where you're
Yeah.
How has that changed your relationship, spending so much time together now? And
absolutely. You have to have boundaries. Very important. You know, I call it, like, for example, I'll just give you some examples. You know, when you're going to bed at night and you're laying in bed and you're trying to fall asleep, you can't be talking about work at that point. You know, you can't do pillow talk about work. That's just one example. I think it's important to set boundaries. Often I'll want to talk to him about certain issues that I'm dealing with as part of our business, but sometimes I'll restrain myself and say, okay, you know, there's a right time for this. I know that he's dealing with a million other things.
Do you guys have a cutoff time of business talk?
Nothing
rigid for us.
Okay.
Sometimes we probably break it because, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, we do both like what we do. Yeah. We love the people. We have a great team that we like, you know, doing it with. And, I mean, when we first started, we're kind of like we would come home with, you know, what's the gossip? And, you know, we didn't talk about confidential client things or anything like that. But we were kind of wondering, hey, we're going to work together. Like, how's there going to be gossip because we're working together? Right. But there's... There's always something. I don't know. We found gossip.
Yes. Yeah. And so also in the sense of spending just time by yourself and then spending time as a couple, how do you guys fit that in? Do you have a support system or how does, because you guys have children, young children.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have children 3 and 4 years old.
Wow.
So they're always around. We have definitely a support system. Again, the grandparents are vital finding appropriate childcare that look like the kids are going to be fine if you leave them with a babysitter on a Saturday night. You know, I feel strongly that it's important to have a very strong relationship together. Chris does too, because everything stems from that. That's really the pillar, I feel. So you know, if we need time together, which we often take, actually, when everything opens up again, we like to go out on our date nights probably every other weekend or so. So we feel like that's very strong.
Yeah. Good. How have you guys been managing? Is the daycares closed now, I'm assuming?
They are.
Yeah. Yes. So how are you managing with two little ones? And, the attention spans are short.
I'm sure the same way your other listeners are managing. It's a mixture of, you know, elatedness and, oh, wow, they're home all the time. I get to spend so much time with them to, oh, my gosh, I'm pulling my hair out. We're lucky that they're not of school age yet. So it's not like we have to sit down and, you know, homeschool them. So that's an added issue that a lot of people are facing. But it's been a trek.
It's fun. It's tricky though. I mean, there's no magic bullet to it. I don't think there's a perfect answer. And thank goodness for our family, especially her mom, you know, who's very close to us in relationship and in proximity. I mean, she's been a godsend with watching the kids, so we could do stuff like this. Although, who knows? We might get a knock. They might pop in. We'll see.
Okay. So, and you guys, some people feel bad about asking their parents to help out, but you guys are pretty good at doing that. All right.
Yeah.
I think so. And they've been, especially her mom, but also, you know, her dad and my parents, they've been very generous. They know maybe we need some time together every now and then, and they're very helpful, thankfully.
And if the parents don't do it, there are other ways. I mean, you can't really make excuses. There are babysitters out there that are maybe somebody at the school, and that's what actually we did. We got somebody at the school, and not affiliated with the school at all, but like it's an independent, you know, give and take. And so there are no excuses to getting somebody out there to help you watch the children if possible.
Okay, good. Yeah. And so actually a couple of other questions that are coming up. As lawyers, you guys are always sometimes dealing with negativity. How do you not let that affect you guys in your relationships?
That's tricky at times. I think, at least for me, it just as a divorce lawyer, you see, okay, well, here's what people are doing that are making them have maybe unhappy relationships. Maybe let's try not to do that. One of the reasons I got to try to know with a lot of therapists very early on, to help understand what are the ways I don't end up like these people. But it's hard when your job, you want to be lawyers. Most people want to be lawyers to help people, and you see people who have pain and you can't fix it. Sometimes as the attorney, that's very difficult.
And they're doing the same thing over. And I mean, we've divorced one client before, and they were getting remarried to somebody that was just like their ex-spouse. And you just want to say, stop the cycle, you know, like realize what's happening. So that is negativity when you can't help someone realize things. That's professionals like yourself are for.
I found like they always say, like I heard, oh, meditate and exercise, all the world's problems will go away. And you know, when I actually do it, it actually does help a good bit. And I mean,
yes, it does.
I'm a weekend redneck. I drive a pickup truck, but when it gets really bad, I mean, I'll sit there with that Calm app thing on the phone, and it does actually make a difference. So does it's a little bit of exercise.
Right. Yeah. Another question that's come up, not all lawyers, but some lawyers are very stubborn. When you get in the field and you're able to argue pretty well, how do you guys keep the balance of how do you guys argue, or how do you resolve conflict? Because you're both are very talented at it.
Yes. I think we just both try to look at the big picture in things.
Okay.
That is really the path that we mostly take. If there's something that we're both headstrong on, I think we'll both take a step back, take a breath, you know, and we always, or at least I always ask myself, will this matter in a day, a week, a year? Is this really going to, you know, should I really fight about this issue, or is it just another issue in life? So I feel like, just having the proper perspective on things and not losing the forest for the trees is really vital when there's some issue that's, come between us. A lot of times, though, we talk through things.
Yeah.
It's a mutual decision. It's never, you know, one person making the decision and the other one having to deal with it. Although I have adopted a few cats that he had to deal with as a result, and he's been good so far.
At a certain point, it's you deal with getting the yes, then it's just say yes.
Okay, good. So what you're saying is you did a lot of self-reflecting. You do a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, you both just, do. Yeah.
And just kind of making sure, instead of focusing on what that, you know, like, I'm going to win. Like, what is the bigger picture? You know, I don't want to lose. What is it? I don't want to win the battle
and lose the war.
So you just have to kind of put things in perspective. I think that's important.
Okay, putting things in perspective and understanding, like you said, what truly matters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your value system and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good. I know you guys talked a little bit about self-care, and I think I know you ride horses, and then
I just got back into it.
Okay.
Recently.
Adopted one.
We just adopted one from
off Facebook from Tennessee. Sight unseen.
It was definitely a risk. It's been going okay so far. So
you guys have a horse and three cats.
We have three indoor cats and probably 10 or 15 outdoor that they were going to kill. And I said, Joe, just bring them over to our house. He goes, how many you have? I said, oh, there's five outdoor.
we have, we're, I guess, crazy cat people in a sense, but where we live, it's called Loxahatchee, Florida. And it's like more wooded yards and, you know,
rural.
You can only see about four or five cats at one time. The rest of it.
Okay. So, yeah. Cool.
So it's discovering old passions, horseback riding. One of his passions is to get on the water and go out fishing. So we're making an effort to do that as much as possible on the weekend. So it's important to do self-care for sure. And self-care.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then we have a question out there. As a mom, I'm just trying to think, you've got two babies, a full-time job, all these animals, hot and got it clean. How do you even do it?
You got to get help. You can't do everything yourself. Just, you have to recognize that you can't be perfect at everything. I'm not a perfect mom. I know that. I will yell.
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you, honey. So you have to say that.
you guys do a lot of validating.
Yeah. So you just have to realize that, you're not going to be perfect at everything and you have to identify where you need help. Like the house, I have somebody who helps me with the house just because I don't want to spend my whole Saturday doing that every week. So you just have to, acknowledge where maybe you need help and you have to get that help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also noticed just in that interaction that you guys tend to always validate each other and have each other's back. And was that just something easy that happened, or you had to work on that?
I think it's just our personality type. You want to make each other feel good. Yeah. You want to make your partner feel good and elevate them. If other people start doing that, they might say, why am I with you when you're making me feel bad all the time? So you just want to, spend a little bit of time to elevate the other person. Thank you.
good. Besides being lawyers, you guys have written books?
Oh, yeah, we've got a few of them.
yes. Tell us a little bit about your books.
Our bestsellers, so to speak, we don't really sell them. We give them away. They're on Amazon, but we pretty much, I think we met over a couple of the books we were giving out at one of the conferences. The most popular one is How to Divorce Your Controlling, Manipulative, Narcissistic Husband. There you go. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
There you go.
But
this one?
What do you say?
What inspired this book here?
That was I tried to identify before Ashley and I were working together. I had some great law partners, and we went in a different direction. And as I was forming the what is now our firm, I tried to think of who are the clients that we actually enjoy helping the most, who are the people that really make us feel fulfilled and helping. And I was a little surprised to find out, but it was actually mostly women who were married to, abusive jerks. When you try to get more into it, you could see, okay, well, these people have, the husbands have these narcissistic type personality disorders. I mean, I don't have your credentials to diagnose people, but generally they meet the type of criteria and diminish the women in their lives to where they almost don't have a voice and no sense of self-value. And the clients that were really enjoyable to work with were those that kind of recognized that was going on. Usually we're working with a therapist to change their life and knew that through the divorce, it was a necessary thing to separate themselves from what was quite frankly an abuser. So we figured out, hey, these are the people that we really like to help. Why don't we try to, send some messaging out to help those people and maybe have more of a client base that are people that, you know, we really, you know, always enjoy helping. And also we mix that in with a lot about the law is confusing. There's not a lot of information out there that at least we as lawyers feel is accurate. So we wanted to also try, hey, there's another one. You got them all. You still kept them. But we want to try to get the information out. So even if people can't, you know, work with us or they're another area of the state or cannot, you know, they're not the right match for our services, they can still be helped by what we do. So that's the story and we're sticking to it.
Okay. Yes. And just to let you guys know that these two books here are, like you said, that are free.
Yes.
And so, yes. So we're about to take our next commercial break. And in our commercial break this time, we would love to hear about your practice, what you guys do and what you guys offer. So just go ahead and take it away. Yes.
All right. Well, we are Ashley and Christopher Bruce. We are with the Bruce Law Firm. Our main offices are in West Palm Beach in Wellington, Florida. We serve pretty much all of Southeast Florida from about the Fort Pierce area down to Miami. We have four other attorneys full-time that work with us as part of our practice. And most of what we do are helping clients in divorce cases, usually when the other person is just a difficult person, has a difficult personality, there's a very serious issue with children, or there's a complicated financial issue to unwind, especially with business valuations and asset tracing. But that's what we do. We represent men and women, but our kind of particular passion is helping women who are in abusive relationships through the divorce process. We have a great team and we love what we do. And we have a lot of books, the resources you're talking about, divorceinformationbooks.com. That's divorceinformationbooks.com. As all the books that we have, you can download them for free. Or if you want them mailed to you, we're happy to do that or send them somewhere where you can pick them up. The more people we help through the books, I think the better everybody is. So it's not something we sell. So take advantage of it. And we're always here to help. And our website is brucepa.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I do have a question in the sense of we're talking about divorce and you just said that difficult people. So when does someone know maybe we should get divorced? Because I know it's more than difficult. It's easy when, not easy, but maybe people have a clearer perception. Maybe I should get divorced when it becomes abusive, you know, when things are, yes. But when situations quite aren't abusive, you know, it's kind of, how do you know?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's a hard one because you have physical abuse. And I mean, right. you can tell that. And I mean, every now and then, I mean, somebody has too much to drink and they just don't know what they're doing, but most of the time they do. But the emotional abuse is, that's so much harder. And so many people, it's just, my heart goes out to them. It's mostly women, but I know it's men and women. They just spend their whole life trying to change somebody, thinking that it's them that's the problem. They want to make things better. And I mean, from, I think the people, Ashley could probably add to this, but I think when you know it's enough is enough is when you've been trying a long time, the person blames you for the problem. They say, you're the one that needs a therapist.
Right?
Go fix yourself. Yeah, that's a constant. When we hear that in our initial meetings, we usually have a little bit of a clue on who we're dealing with, unless they're the one that truly needs the help. And when they resist therapy, when they don't want to change, when they don't listen, when they continue to put you down, when they do mean things, you know, that's usually a pretty good sign. When they keep you from other people, they don't allow you to have your own relationships.
Also, and financial control,
yeah,
too.
And there's a thing about like doing all that. Like sometimes people do that and they don't know what they're doing and their spouse sits them down and says, hey, look, this hurts me. And the difference is do they respond to that or not?
Right.
I think also a way to get into the right answer too is with a therapist.
Right.
A lot of times talking it through with the therapist, and I don't know that a therapist will tell you for sure, this is not going to work or you need to go get a divorce. They'll kind of, I mean,
help you figure out, what's the best for you.
Exactly. They would help you kind of lead to you to that answer yourself so you can internally understand that this is the right path for me.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I mean, I've heard of a type of account, you know, counseling that you may do yourself, but for people that where there's not really abuse going on, they call it discernment counseling.
So right. I have a couple
of people focus on, hey, is this something that's best for both of us to try to fix?
Right.
Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it's just it's not the best, and you know, right. It's
and
great
how do
when you can have,
yeah? How right? do kids play in that? Because I know some people think, well, I'm just going to wait till they get 18 and then we get divorced. And the kid's only 4 or 5. Or...
I disagree with that just based on personal yes. experience. You don't want the kids to grow up in an environment where their parents are, you know, constantly fighting or one parent or seeing one parent put the other one down and that it's okay. You don't want them to learn that type of behavior is okay. Yes, it is, I wouldn't say traumatic, but it is a disruption in a child's life when there's a divorce that's going on. It can be traumatic if both parents are fighting over the child and, you know, alienating the child and not helping the child transition properly. But I feel strongly that putting the child in the right environment is the best thing. And if that's in a household where one, you know, the mom is living separately from the father and they have a fine relationship, just managing the child, that is it, instead of being in a abusive
yeah place. And I mean, and here's the thing, I think a lot of people don't think of, if your goal as a parent is to have a close relationship with your kids for the rest of your life, and then, you know, you're gonna have to face the music at some point in time, because it's I think maybe sometimes just as heartbreaking for, you know, the grandmother who's getting divorced to have, you know, her conniving husband alienate, mm-hmm. you know, the kids and the grandchildren against them, you know, and had that person got divorced 20 years earlier, not only would they have had a chance to have 20 more years of their life where they can live differently,
right.
they would have given their children, I think, you know, realistically, a better chance to see how to have healthy relationships and what is not okay. And while that child might have been temporarily affected over the long term, the disruption would be diminished. You're always going to have to face it. You might as well do it as soon as you can. I think besides situations where a child has one more year left of high school, well, maybe mm-hmm. you should let them finish. But
right. Definitely. Yeah. I love how you put that. You should really face the music is what you said, which is really, yes.
It's hard because there's always, and I do not encourage divorce. That's why we have the website. That's why we know people like you to help
right.
our clients avoid it. But, you know, you can get into a spot of always looking for another reason to delay. And I think some people have to realize that's just the fear mechanism of trying to avoid conflict, which is how a lot of us are. We don't want conflict, and you try to put it off. And divorce can feel like that because it's outside your comfort zone.
Right.
Be wary of doing that if you know you need to get out.
Yes. We did have a comment on Facebook. I'm Tamara Joy Hunter. She said she's a friend of you guys and how you guys really do a unique job of really connecting with your clients and trying to do what's best for your clients. Yes. So as we're at the last part of this segment here, we help relationships of couples and we give tips. So can we start talking about some tips you can give for couples and how they can increase their intimate life with each other, with their kids, you know, in this type of setting where we're quarantined and even starting to break out a little bit?
I'll give you a couple bullet points. Number one, listen, like actively listen and react. Don't just hear what the other person is saying.
Right. And you do a very good job with that. And then it's if everybody's watching, it's because you actually, when he's talking, you're actually looking and gazing at his eyes and hearing what he's saying. So, yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that comment. That was sweet.
Yes.
A couple other areas too. I mean, do what your spouse enjoys or your significant other enjoys. When I met him, I didn't really like fishing. I just pictured it as, you know, guys on the water drinking beer all day. And, you know, I've learned to enjoy it. I've learned to actually enjoy it being out on the water and everything like that. So don't be adverse to what your spouse, you know, likes. Golf, if they like golf, maybe go to the driving range or something like that with them. Show them that you're actively involved in their life.
Right.
Now
is a great time to do something different. Like you said, if you haven't tried something with your partner, whether it's playing chess or whatever, try it because we have the time. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, one thing we did that I thought was really fun, we probably need to, you know, do it again. It's a lot of fun. We called it a love list. I mean, it was all, like, we were lawyers. We have these yellow page pads and we ripped the page off of it. And we wrote down things that we really wanted to do together. And, you know, we didn't do all of them, but it was there, you know, on our refrigerator, and we did it. And as we got kids, there was stuff that we did with kids, and it's just finding things that you both really want to do and trying to do it together. And right now, I mean, you know, nothing's open yet here in, on the east coast of Florida, but I mean, you can find things if you think about it. There's always something you can do.
There's ways. You have to be creative a little bit, and it's not necessarily wanting to do the things together. It's even something that you want to do on your own. And then including your spouse or your significant other in that activity too, and the other person being enthusiastic and, you know, looking forward to it. It's really a matter of outlook, I feel, as well.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that idea of writing down a list and posting it. You know, I'm a believer of vision boards, of posting things you want or posting goals and stuff. Because if you see it, then it's more of a chance that you guys would actually do it, you know, and as you cross it off.
Right. And then also planning, like, you know, 2 weeks out, let's go, I don't know, go stay at a hotel in some other town somewhere. Just do something kind of spontaneous and that would be, you know, that you wouldn't normally do. So that, and then you can cross that off your list on the refrigerator so you can visualize, oh, wow, we're, you know, not only have we had a lot of experiences together, but here's also a couple of things that we never thought we would do that we wanted to do this year, you know, go to, I don't know, like Mount Dora. I heard that's a really cool town. I'm dying to get there. You know, we haven't done that yet. So there's just some things that, you know, that you can do that really actively be involved in each other.
Absolutely. You gotta make the time to do it. You do it for your business. You do it for everything else. You got to do it together too for your relationship, or it just won't happen. You got to make the time to step back and think and have fun planning together.
Right. Good. So, Chris, I have a question for you because I know I asked a mom question, but there's a dad question, and I also see it a lot in therapy where a wife has one kid, and definitely by the second kid, she's always so busy, and then somehow this man here feels like he doesn't get her attention. Yeah. How did you deal with it after two kids and your wife has so much stuff going on?
It was tricky. I think it required a lot of communication. And I think the biggest thing that, you know, I realized I needed to do more of was basically saying, what can I do? And then following up and saying, no, what can I do? And, you know, for her, there was a lot you take on as a mother. Biologically, there's only so many things a man can do in certain situations. But
right.
There's other areas where you can pick up the slack and help as much as possible. And, you know, I think Ashley, at least our relationship, she's somebody that, you know, really she does a lot for other people. She does a lot for me. So maybe she was more natural to saying, you know, not saying things that, you know, really she needed help with.
Right, well,
so
I got it.
Yeah.
And
so
like, no,
I had to kind of
really
dig a little bit more. And it's like, all right, look, I'll watch the kids. Give me the, you know, the formula or whatever. Go get your nails done. Like whatever it is, you got to just ask, find out what the other person wants and how they can be most help. And yeah, recognize, I mean, if you have two young kids for like a year or two, yeah, maybe there's a period of where like you're not going to get all of the attention and it's never going to be all your attention anymore, but things evolve, you know.
So you were persistent in that.
Yes.
Okay.
You had to ask for a number more than once too, but yeah, you got to be persistent with it.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess, as we're talking about it and about the connection and stuff, kind of one of the things that you guys have been saying is being persistent, consistent, and mapping out that love you guys have for one another.
Yeah, we try. I mean, nothing goes as planned. I mean, who knew it was going to happen the last 2 months, but we try to be deliberate about it. I mean, I don't know. We don't always probably know what we're doing. what it is that we're doing, but looking at it like in conversations like that, yeah, you gotta be persistent and consistent and always try to keep a connection as much as you can. I think that's the biggest part of it.
Okay. And are you, Christopher, also good at asking for help?
Probably not as good as I should be.
Okay.
But I mean, for us, I mean, it's sometimes at times the business can be overwhelming and you got to say, hey, look, can you please do this? It might not be something you normally do, but the consequence of maybe not doing that is I might have to work all weekend. And then usually we kind of come back to Ashley saying it's a team. We kind of take a step back, divide, redivide, and then try to conquer it.
Okay. So another thing that we're gaining from this is you're having to sometimes, once you set up a schedule, you go back and adjust it according to how things work.
Yeah. Nothing. No, you can't be rigid about it.
You gotta be flexible.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. This is you gotta roll with the punches a little bit, and you know sometimes we'll miss going out to a promised dinner or something like that, but you'll make it up. I mean, you just kind of have to be flexible in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Good. And I know you have strong support system. You've mentioned your moms, and it is Mother's Day weekend. Yes. Which is great that's coming up, and it's been thankful that you guys have strong moms. Do you guys also have a strong group of other couples that you guys associate with that have the same?
We do. We have some support groups. I mean, support groups, I say, like other friend groups. They're kind of, you know, in bunches. We have different groups of friends that we hang out with for different, you know, times in our life.
Yeah, it's been interesting because a lot of our friends, we all kind of, we're friends with a lot of lawyers. I don't know how that happened. I guess we're lawyers, but you know, and everybody is having kids at the same time. And then we all kind of scattered as to where we were, but I think we're at the stage of life now through our kids are getting older to be around other kids or meeting their parents and kind of, you know, making new sets of friends. And we have, I think each a couple of really good friends, and my friends are maybe a little bit more derelict. They didn't settle down yet, but we have some good couples that we get to do things with too, which is fun.
Yeah, great. It's been truly a pleasure to have you guys on our show. And so I would like the audience to know how to reach out to you guys and about all your websites. And can you tell us again about your social media websites and different things? And I think you have a podcast too.
Absolutely. BrucePA.com, that's BrucePA.com, Bruce Law Firm, or you can type in divorceinformationbooks.com, and that kind of feeds into a page of our website, but that has most of the information. We're on Facebook as the Bruce Law Firm, and I think we even got a Twitter account hanging out there somewhere, but most of our presence is online through our website, where we have a lot of our free resources, a lot of videos. We have recordings on you know, things like this, where we've been the one doing the recording. And probably the best resource, I think the most important one, is staymarriedflorida.com. And it has probably at this point in time, I think about 20 different podcast interviews, a lot of articles written by people who are truly the experts in helping people stay happy in their relationships. And, you know, it's branched out over time into just how to have fun together. Like, this would be a great thing to post on there. And how to get through divorce when it does happen too. So it's a lot of great stuff from the experts about it. We're just the information aggregators. It's really the people who contributed the content that really the magic with it.
Wonderful. So on that site also has, like you said, divorce recovery information. And
it does.
Yes. And a list of counselors, of people looking for therapy, and a variety of different resources.
That's exactly, yeah, that's probably one of the more important things. There's, if you're listening to this and needing the help, now there's throughout Florida a great geographical listing of people like you. You're on the website that are truly good at what they do, that we've had a chance to meet and been very impressed with. And, you know, our hope is people who, you know, maybe aren't getting the spark, you know, in their relationship before coming to us, they go to people who are the pros like yourself and trying to, you know, help reignite that spark and reignite that passion. And we want to encourage that as much as we can. It can truly change your life.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. You've been wonderful guests that have provided so much information. And I love that how you guys help people in all aspects of the relationships, and that you actually are doing it and working it and doing your best. And thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yes. This is the Bringing Intimacy Back show, where intimacy is real. Thank you, guys. Bye.